like to take that text that was read, the colors of Jesus, and let's give a hand clap of praise for the whosoever will praise us. Normally the men sing on this Sunday, but we knew we have some people who weren't going to be here, so I said, let whosoever will, come on, sing with them, and they did. And we just thank God for the spirit in this place, the spirit of love, of working together and supporting one another, because that's the only way we can make it in this life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we once again thank you for this day. Thank you for all we've heard and all we've experienced, but now comes the preaching moment. So, Lord, because I'm one of those unrighteous, one of those who need to face your wrath, search me, try me. You already know my weaknesses. No matter how painful it might be, oh Lord, remove anything that would be a hindrance to the preaching of your word. Give me that clarity of sight, that clarity of mind that can only come through your Holy Spirit, that clarity of speech that would remove that thorn in my flesh. Because your people need a word this morning. And then, as always, I ask you, Lord, to give me the strength. And I'm going to keep standing on your promises, standing on your courage, because you've done it before. I know that I believe you'll do it one more time. And so we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because of Jesus. On this fourth Sunday of Lent, a journey to that triumphant entry on Palm Sunday, a journey to that final meal and betrayal, a journey to Calvary and that old rugged cross along with the empty tomb. We all know that Jesus died for our sins and the sins of the whole world. And that the empty tomb was a sign that the sacrifice was acceptable. And because it was, all of us have a place in glory because we have peace with God. Peace with God. I know a lot of men and women work for peace with men and women, but peace with God, that's something no man or woman can do. However, that's something all of us should want. For even though all of us are sinners, sinners which mean we are in rebellion against God, rebellion that could be considered war, yet because of Jesus, we've got peace with God. Peace even though our faults could have prevented that. And you know, I would hate to think how it would be to be at war with an all-knowing God, to be at war with an all-powerful God, to be with a God and Lord who's everywhere. And just think that about that for a minute, because I know all of us sometimes stumble. There are times when all of us fall. However, when I think about that rebellion, nobody should be thinking about rebelling on purpose. And we should be thankful of the way, thankful for the timing of what Jesus did a long time ago. You know, our text this morning comes from the book of Romans, a letter to the church in the most powerful city of what was the then known world. There's a whole lot of world they didn't talk about, a world with more power and might have been more civil. It's just that those parts of the world did not suit the narrative of what we call classical education. Rome, a city where God was seen as emperor. A city where Jesus was a challenge to everything that Rome had built. Yet those Christians believed and trusted in God. And because there was an approved religion in every country Rome occupied, Judaism was the accepted religion in Palestine. So then you could find Jews in Rome. And you know, speaking of approved religions, there are some people who feel that same way today. They want an approved form of Christianity. Christianity is different from the Christianity I believe. Christianity is different from the Christianity many others believe. For I believe that Jesus will meet us all exactly where we are. Yet a few want to impose their views on others while at the same time claiming they're being persecuted because they can't have their way. Oh, man. Well, forcing me to believe what you believe, that's persecution to me. And when we look at the church at Rome, there were Jews who believed in Jesus and Gentiles who believed in Jesus. And because the Jews who believed in Jesus went to the synagogue, there was conflict. In fact, the conflict got so bad, the emperor put them all out of Rome. The first chapter of Rome concentrates on righteousness. Righteousness, being right with God. And as I said a few weeks ago, righteousness is not a label you can put on yourself. You're only made right by God. Paul talks about God's righteousness being revealed in the gospel. Yet many Christians will tell you how to live based on what Paul said rather than the life Jesus lived in the gospel. Jesus challenged government. Jesus challenged religious institutions. Jesus challenged even culture. While Paul, a Roman citizen, Paul, unlike Jesus, who probably had some earthly wealth, even though Jesus met Paul on that road to Damascus, Jesus empowered women, and Paul said, keep women in their place. Jesus challenged government, and Paul said, uphold the government. See, but like Paul, many of us have been touched by the hand of Jesus, yet we continue to do some of the very things we did before we met Jesus. Paul speaks of God's faithfulness and justice, and I know most of you know that God is a faithful God. I just wish that there was half as much of the justice of God when it comes to justice right here on this earth. Paul speaks of Abraham's faith being credited as righteousness. And that's my prayer, that the faith of the members of New Hope Fellowship will be credited as righteous. See, that's why I preach the way I do. That's why I teach the way I do. That's why we are a praying church and a church that assists those in need. See, I want us to be credited and faithful, but just as Abraham's promise was received through faith, I believe that we, if we are faithful, God has a promise for us also. First thing our text teaches us is we are righteous through the faith of Jesus. Not through ourselves, through the faith of Jesus. And just like Jesus had faith, we should have faith in God. Faith that God is going to see us through this virus. Faith that God is going to open up doors. Faith that things will get better. Is there anybody with some faith here this morning? See, I don't even need to ask that for like me. You've been places this week because of your faith in God. And you are here because of that same faith. And see, that doesn't mean that you stop wiping surfaces. That doesn't mean that you keep on shaking hands. That doesn't mean that you hung up on a person who's coughing and sneezing. See, faith requires that we use our brain. And as a friend of mine said yesterday, we do a whole lot of stupid things, and then when we get messed up, we say that the devil is busy. No, the devil ain't busy. You just got to use what God has given you. And don't be paralyzed by this foolishness. Since we've been made righteousness through the faithfulness of Jesus, which means that we are on the right side of God. Oh, I know I need to unpack that. Because there are bad things that happen because God allows it. And there are bad things that happen because people pimp God. People say, that God said it and God didn't say it. People will use the word of God to negate and oppress people. People of faith will worship other gods. See, that's why even though many people have shut down houses of worship, I'm here and you are here because on tomorrow morning we're going to do things that matter to us. So I'm not going to put other gods before God. Oh, see, I know somebody listening on Facebook will cut me off right now. See, worshiping God is just as important as the other things we do. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, read the Old Testament. See, for those prophets, they were against the presidential prophets who tempt God. They were against the religious folk who rigged the system against people like you and like me. And because they did, God allowed bad persons to destroy two of his nations. God even allowed the temple that brought his name to be torn down. See, don't squander the righteousness you have because of the faithfulness of Jesus. Don't lose the peace you have through our Lord Jesus Christ by thinking, well, Jesus paid it all and I can do anything I want to do. But not only will you use your righteousness, you will lose that peace. And you will lose the grace that gives you the access to the faith of God. Oh, faith that can move mountains. Faith that can calm the many storms that come into our life. Faith that can overcome even death. See, that's the kind of faith I want this morning. That's the kind of faith we need. That's a faith we can boast about. Faith that gives us hope of beholding the glory of Almighty God. But just as important, because of Jesus, we can handle our problem. See, that's a good theology because it admits not only do people have problems, Christians have problems. Amen. Like preach on little Levi. See, I know at times life seems like an easy street. However, it bothers me that every time I see some Christians, and I know they're lying because they force their smile on their face. And then they make these words come out of their mouth. Yeah, Doc, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Well, if you went home with them and you had they had an honest conversation with you, they would admit that life is a living hell. See, problems are never solved by denial. Problems are never solved by cute church sayings. Problems are solved by having a little talk with Jesus and let the Holy Spirit help you work things out. Oh, it ain't about naming and claiming. It ain't about grabbing and bagging it. It's about letting God work in your life. Letting God help you take care of your little problem so that when your elevation comes, God can handle your even bigger problem. Oh, see, that might be why some of our breakthrough has not come. That's why you haven't been elevated, because we have avoided our problems with the text saying we take pride in our problems, especially when God has helped us work things out. In fact, many times, our problems, they are testimony in here on Sunday morning. Preach, Pastor. Because we know that trouble produces endurance. The only thing, you got to address them. Too many Christians have not used the faith of Jesus, the hope we have in God's grace to face our troubles and get some endurance. And the great thing about endurance, endurance will give you character. Character that said, don't take a shortcut. We in the situation we are this morning because for too long, people who call themselves Christians been taking shortcuts. Oh, they're going to stay over there in China. They ain't coming over here. We got this great big ocean with folks flying back and forth all day long. Don't think the Chinese just making stuff. We got folks going over there watching the Chinese and they getting everything they got and bringing it right here. Shortcuts we see every day, defective equipment, prescription drugs are always on recall. The same for food. See, stop taking court shortcuts. And then endurance will keep you from life. Oh, some of y'all saw the lies on rap. Some of y'all saw the same lies yesterday. In fact, lying has been going on too long in high places. The fact is, if you don't have endurance, you will give in to the lie. Get some endurance. Use your mind for better things. Because when you lie, it takes up so much memory in your mind. I know what kids read about the Bible and say, a liar gotta have good memory. Remember all the lies they tell. See, get some character because you have that endurance. And then you can have some hope because your character is in line with the character of my Almighty God. And knowing the character of God will give you hope. New hope. Hope that you and I need. Hope that so many that we come in contact with need every day. Too many in our community have given up and have no hope because of mass incarceration, the lack of opportunity. See, so many of our youth have no hope. And it's people of God who are right with God. People of God who have peace with God. And people who have dealt with our problems and now have endurance, character, and hope. We need to have enough faith in God that soon and very soon we can be opened up some opportunities to those who have been denied for so long. But that's what Jesus would have done, and that's what Jesus wants us as a fellowship to do. And I hope to make things better. That hope does not put us to shame. For if it is of God, God will work it out. God will make things right. Because the love of God has been poured into your heart. Have you opened your heart's church? Have you let the love of God been poured into? Because see, the love of God brings about change. The love of God never fails. Oh, if your hearts have never been open to the love of God, the world can and will mess with your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit that God has given you to open up your heart, for your heart has to be open to be right with God. Your heart has to be open to have peace. And then finally, our text tells us, Jesus died at the right moment. See, that's why I love great theology in the Psalms we say. He said, it may not come when you want it, but I love that word, but it'll be there right on time for what he's an all-time God. Yes, he is. Do I have a witness in the house this morning that God is an all-time God? Oh, well, somebody watching Facebook just hit love. If God has been an all-time God in your life, on time when your food was low, on time when you were on your sick bed, on time when your benefits were about to run out, somebody needs to say thank you, Lord, for being an all-time God. But when it came to eternity, when it came to defeating sin and death, while we were still weak, and all of us right now in some form of weakness, at the right moment, not a minute too soon, not a minute too late, Christ died for ungodly people, just like you and me. But we can put on our holiness, our robes, and our collars. Our titles of pastor, prophet, apostle, bishop, and even the deacon. We put on that God suit. We can put on those long dresses. We can hang those crosses around our necks. Carry around big Bibles. Do a holy dance and shout. But we are all ungodly people. Paul explains it. It's often that someone will die for a righteous person, but Jesus died for the unrighteous. Well, maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. Jesus died for the good, the righteous, and the unrighteous. What a kind and loving God we serve. But Jesus showed love that never fails. Showed it for us because while we were still sinners, in rebellion against God, hiding from God because we did not have peace with God, Jesus made things right by dying for us. So now we have been made righteous by his blood. We ought to sing it when we sing it like we never sang it before. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. But one day when I was lost, and let me tell you, I've been lost. We are all lost. He died. I said he died upon that cross. But I know. I said I know. Yes, I know. His blood was for me. That blood that was spilled. That blood that came flowing, pulling free. Blood that has us more certain that we will be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus. The wrath that can show up on these earth. And the wrath that could be our fate for some on judgment day. But let verse 10 sink deep into your spirit. If we were reconciled, made right to God through the death of his son, while we were still enemies, we didn't have to wave a white flag. We didn't have to pay reparations. We were not sold into slavery. But that's what happens when defeated enemies want to get right with the victim. How much certain is it that we will be saved by his life? Like I said so many times, Christians don't know when to shout. Because if you are right with God, if you have peace with God, we can sing and we can shout victory. So as we approach Good Friday, good because it changed things for eternity on that day. Y'all ain't never thought about that. I know a whole lot of people say, why they call it Good Friday? He killed my Jesus on a Good Friday. But because they killed a bad thing, made things good for us. Even though his blood was shed, his holy blood, his precious blood, the blood of Jesus, you should have pride. I should have pride. Because even though things were messed a long time ago when men and women walked with God in a perfect place, because somebody messed up. It could have been the male. It could have been the female. Could have been both. The writers wrote from a male perspective and blamed it on the woman. But because of whoever did it, our relationship with God was broken. But on Good Friday, and every Good Friday to come, we can sing, shout, rejoice, because of Jesus. You have, I have, all of creation can have a restored relationship with Almighty God. You can talk with him anytime you want to. You can say, come and walk along with me. Give me a hug. Wipe my tears off. In a real relationship. Ain't no fake relationship. Ain't no sometime relationship. Ain't a conditional relationship. It's a relationship. A true and loving relationship with Almighty God. And it's a relationship we all should have pride in. Because it means so much. Words cannot even explain it. And because of what that relationship has done for you, has done for me in this life, and in the eternal life, that you can start experiencing right now. You don't have to die. You can have eternal life right now. And all of that has happened. All of that is happening. All of that will happen because of Jesus. Oh, I thought y'all were going to say that, babe. Oh, because of Jesus. Oh, because of Jesus. Oh, because of Jesus, we are here. Oh, because of his blessing. All of his wonderful blessing. We are here. Somebody needs to thank God because we are here this morning because of Jesus. 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 Amen. Amen. And amen.